Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our series, Moses, Part 3, Leading for God. If you would like to find out more about our sermon podcast or North Valley Church, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Yes, back by popular demand was the heavy metal for the intro video. So this series goes about another, I think we've got like 7 weeks ahead of ourselves. So enjoy that. If that's not your shtick, just go like this. I'm okay till we get through it. If Ben James is on the soundboard, you might need whatever. Welcome again to North Valley Church. So not all of you get to go down and hang out in the kids area and play down there, but some of you do. Downstairs yesterday, Josh Detweiler made some big-time modifications. We have three classrooms. The nursery had a half door, so you could open the top and the bottom. Now the other two rooms, the blue room and the orange room, now have half doors. So, and I had the opportunity to be Josh's helper. Right? Nobody else showed up, so he had to take me, right? But it was an opportunity. It was a long day yesterday. We were down there for six-ish hours, right? So I'm not a skilled carpenter like Josh, but I was able to help. And I maybe didn't cut the time down in half, but we got done quicker because I showed up. Right, and Josh was able to lead. Josh was able to say, Dan, you can do this. Can you sweep that up? Haul that into the other room, right? Things in my technical skill. He gave me some other things to do, too, I'll talk about later. But even if I'm doing those things, I'm leading. And Josh, in that moment, is leading. And he's delegating responsibilities within my skill set so that everybody gets done sooner. So we all have opportunities to do that. Josh got to model that for me yesterday. We all have opportunities where we lead. And even if you're just in your family, right? If you're a parent, you're a leader. There are people following your lead. If you're a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, you have opportunities to do that. Maybe in your work, you have a role of responsibility. And in your work, you're a leader. And you direct people and their activities. Maybe in your neighborhood, in your community. Maybe you do that at church. Maybe you lead things at church. Even if you don't have a role or a title, leadership isn't defined by a role or a title. Having a role of a leader is really an opportunity. Anybody can be a leader and be thinking about how can we, when you start thinking we, how can we accomplish whatever it is that's in front of us and do it more effectively? That's what leadership really is. It's about not just doing things on your own, but how do I bring other people along in the journey so that we can all be effective? So we all have opportunities to do that. We're going to take a moment and we're going to step into Moses. We are back into our Moses series. We have been doing a little profile of Moses. We're in part three, the last part of Moses. We have done part one and two already where we learned about Moses and his discovering himself, his self-discovery, and figuring out who he was and who God saw him to be. And the humbling effect that that had on him and the change in attitude and perspective that it gave Moses. Then we saw Moses following God in Moses part two, where Moses began to realize, well, instead of trying to do things my way, when I do them God's way, man, things turn out a whole lot better. And so I'm going to lean into being able to follow God. And we saw him follow God's command to leave Midian and go to Egypt and free the slaves and orchestrate for everybody to see what was going to happen with the plagues. And he led them out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. So we saw Moses leading the people for God. But now we're really going to step into Moses' leadership. And we're going to talk about leading for God. And that's going to be Moses part 3. If you wouldn't mind, Millie, can you back up just a slide? I put time, I'm the guy who does the graphics, so I put lots of time looking at it, and I was able to find an authentic slide of Moses holding his staff with the traditional Hebrew yellow raincoat, right? Well, that was humor. All right, maybe nobody. All right, Millie, you can go forward now. Long, awkward pause, and then you think, that's funny. Okay, good. So Moses has been directing people, been guiding the nation of Israel up into the point where we're now out of Egypt. We've crossed the Red Sea. As we closed following God in our last series, Moses had just addressed the concerns of the people about having something to eat and something to drink. So Moses was able to go to some rock and get some water to flow out of it. He was able to address their needs for food because God sent manna from heaven. And so they had something to eat, had something to drink, and it was all provided miraculously. Right? Moses is the actor, but God's been providing all of those things for the nation of Israel. During this time, Moses' father-in-law shows up. And he wasn't part of the Egypt thing, but he shows up and he's hanging out visiting his son-in-law and seeing how things are going. So we're going to read through this story about Moses sharing the load, that to be able to lead effectively and to do it well for myself and for those around me, we need to know how to share the load. So we're just going to walk through this story, then we're going to reflect on it. We'll go back and review some of the high points on that. All right. The next day, Moses had just introduced him to manna from heaven and got water to come out of a rock. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw what Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you, and you cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representatives before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way to where they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will be able to go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. So let's just go back. What did we just read, right? So there is, life is going on. There's all these big things, plagues to get out of Egypt, parting the Red Sea to escape, and then God closing it over Egypt. All these giant, big, miraculous stuff. But you know what? Life still goes on. There is stuff that still needs to be figured out, and somebody needs to do this. There's this huge crowd of people, right? What do you do when some guy shows up and says, hey, my neighbor just ran over my goat with his cart and killed my goat. What are we going to do about it? Right? What do you do when the mom shows up? Little Yosef was playing outside and a group of bullies beat him up. What are we going to do about it? Right? How do we deal? These things are still going on. And so Moses is the guy in charge. So people obviously look to him and say, Moses, how are we going to delineate this? And so Moses is just doing the natural thing. But the father-in-law steps in, and with a different set of eyes, he's looking at what's going on and going, man, this isn't going to go well. You guys are going to wear yourselves out. Why not share the load? And that's what we want to talk about today. This whole passage in the book of Exodus is all about delegation. How do we share the load? God wants us to be able to do big things. He's called us to do big things for Him in His name. And we're not meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. We don't go on those marches by ourselves. We are meant to do them corporately. And as leaders, we own a responsibility on how do I do that effectively. So as we step into this, I want you to think about your leadership roles that we talked about. Maybe it's your family, your neighborhood, work, church. And as we step into this and look at the points, the meaty parts of what it is that Moses' father-in-law Jethro shares, how can this apply to where it is that you're at? I'm going to take one more step back. God cares about how you lead. How cool is that? That matters. He put this in His Word so that we could read it because this matters. And He doesn't want us to just do it. He wants us to do it well. So let's look at a couple of points that were part of this story that we read about Moses. Keeping power wears everyone out. Jethro pointed out that, man, if you don't change something, you are going to be worn out. If you don't change something, all the people around you are going to be worn out. Maybe you're here today feeling worn out or anxious or carrying a burden about something, and maybe the answer is you need to share some of that. Maybe there's some of that load that you need to share with someone else. So maybe that's a trigger. When you start to feel like you're carrying too much, man, maybe that's a sign that maybe we need to have this conversation with God. What should I be sharing? There was a season a couple of months ago here at North Valley Church where I started using the words, I'm the funnel. Everything is stuck going through me, right? And I apologize to people for it. We grew fast, and I'm like, I haven't got all the nuts and bolts and puzzle pieces in place yet. And I recognized that people around me were, when is that going to happen? Have you seen my email? Blah, blah. I became the bottleneck. When I'm using those words, I need to go hang out here. God, what you got in store? If you want all this to happen, you need to show me how to make a change. So I'm encouraging you to take some time and reflect for yourself. What might that look like for yourself? Because if you're starting to feel worn out, maybe that's a sign, right? God uses our emotions to get our attention. And when He gets our attention, don't ignore the emotion, but go into it and go, why am I feeling this way? And if sharing the load is maybe one of the answers, let's step into that. Jethro encouraged Moses to delegate to capable people with good character. So I'm going to hang out here for a minute or two. Delegate to capable people with good capable. Who are capable people? Right? We're not all wired for the same job. So when we think about who we're delegating to, think of the people that you might delegate it to. Let's say I'm looking for somebody to share the load as a greeter, right? Who are the kind of people I might pick to help be a greeter? I want a gregarious, extrovert person. I want them to show up on Sunday morning. I love meeting people. I want to stand and talk to people lots, right? That's the person. Some of us are an introvert personality, you're shy, right? If you're the shy, quiet kind of person, I love you. Maybe you're not my best greeter, right? And maybe that's not the right role for you. You see, it's not about whether, they don't even have to know how to greet. It starts with, who are they? What is their personality? What are their experiences for the role, right? So for a greeter, I'm looking for a gregarious extrovert, not a shy introvert. For, if you're counting money, I don't care what your shyness or gregariousness is. That doesn't matter. I want you to be a detail-oriented person, right? I would be a terrible counter, right? I am not a detail-oriented person. I tend to big picture concepts, right? If I'm in there counting money, we got most of the checks done. Let's just move on, right? We don't need to finish it. Come on, look, that's pretty good. I am the 80-20 guy. I'm really good at getting the job 80% done. That last 20, I struggle with. You don't want me keeping the books. That's a bad plan. It doesn't have anything to do with my personality. I mean, it does have something to do with my personality, but you see, it's a different piece of my personality. So when we're thinking of people to delegate, pay attention to their personality. Are they introverts, extroverts, detail-oriented, big-picture-oriented? What are their capabilities? Because you can train whatever skill that you need. They just need to have the right foundation to start with. You can train people how to count money and how to use Planning Center to enter it. You can train people. Here's a smiling. Tell them about the stuff on the side. There's the coffee, right? You can train people to do that. What you can't train is good character. When you decide to delegate to somebody, keep in mind, well, they're not a very good, friendly person to hang out with. Maybe they'll get better. Bad plan, right? You can't fix bad character. You can't train out of it. It's something that's inside of a person, and we have to be patient and wait for God to resolve that or so. We might be able to play a role in that, but man, that's between them and God. So as you think about delegating, man, think about the capability of the people that you're leaning into. Are they wired for that job? Ask yourself about their character. And remember that you can't train better character. That's something that's going to stay with them. Delegating also involves equipping and giving authority. Jethro told Moses that you need to teach them. Teach them what their laws are, but then give them authority so that they can judge. Let them make the decisions and you don't have to hang around. Josh got to model that for me yesterday. One of the things we needed to do was... what do you call it when you take out the thing for the hinge? We needed to inlay. See, I don't even know what the heck I'm talking about. Could we give Josh a mic? We needed to inlay the hinges on the wood. So we needed to get chisels and hammers and dig out the wood, right? You can watch me trying to describe it. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. Josh does. So there were a whole bunch of these things. There were 8 places where we needed to do this. I'm like, I actually have a set of chisels. I'm a gear guy, so I've got all the tools. I just don't know how to use any of them. So, Josh, I only live 5 minutes from here. I can go get some chisels, and you can show me how to do it. So I ran home. I got my chisels, my wood chisels, and I came back. And I'm like, okay, dangerous guy, chisel and hammer, let's do it. And Josh is like, here's what you do. And he took the time. Watch me. Josh said, watch me. You make dents. Then after you make a dent in, you start doing this. You might go steep at first, but then you want to get the chisel flat because you don't want to dig too much. You don't want to peel too much out. But making a dent, really, he said like 5 times, making the dent around the outside is really important, right? So that you don't peel off and ruin more wood than take off more wood than you want. And so he spent time showing me how to do that. And then he said, okay, you give it a try. And I'm like, poom, kink, poom. He goes, oh, okay, yeah, you're doing good. And though he went off and did his thing, and he started working on other ones, and he left me alone after he saw that it looked like I could do it. He showed me how to do it. He watched me do it. And then, bless him, he left me alone to do it myself. Right? So there was some point where I was working on one door. He had done half of it, and there were two places that needed to be done. So I finished one and a half hinges. And so I did it. And when Josh came back, he goes, hey, you actually did a pretty good job. Now, I did one and a half. He did four in the time I did one and a half. Okay. He's better at it than me, but I got one and a half done, right, in the time that it took. But Josh took the time to equip me and then delegated the authority to get it done. So I want to think about that for a few minutes. Equipping. When we are delegating, that's a step sometimes we forget, that we actually need to take the time to make sure the person knows what it is that we expect them to do. There are five steps, I would say, to completely equip somebody. Right? So step number one is, I need to be able to do it. This sounds dumb, but you have to say it. If I don't know how to do it, I can't show somebody else. So I have to make sure that it's something I know that I'm talking about. Step two, I do it, you watch. Josh did that. He already knew how to do it. Then he said, Dan, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to explain what I'm doing. You watch me do it. Then he said, all right, Dan, grab your chisel. You do it, I'll watch. And he stood there while I destroyed some wood. Gave me some pointers. And then he left me alone. I do it. Now, one day, step five will happen. Josh will encourage me, Dan, you can now show somebody else how to do this. We made it this pretty. All right, you made it. It's across the line. All right. So, five, I want you to think about that. When you're equipping somebody, we skip steps. First, we need to do it. Then we need to do it and let them watch. Then they need to do it. We need to watch. Then I need to let them do it. And then I need to encourage them, show somebody else how to do it. That's what equipping looks like. Giving away authority. At some point, Josh needed to step away. All right, I can fix whatever Dan's going to make. I can fix whatever Dan's going to make. Go ahead, Dan, you're going to do a great job. Right? At some point, he needs to trust me with what it is that's doing. For many of us, this is where we fall short in being able to delegate and share the load. We don't like giving away authority. Right? Some of us are perfectionists. Because when we watch other people do something that we do, me and graphics, doing graphics, I'm so terrible at this. Can you do the graphic? And I watch somebody do it, put it together. What do you think of this? And I'll be like, oh, that's great. I don't like that color. You should use a different font. Why aren't any shadows here? Right? And I'm freaking out about what the graphic looks like. Not that I'm a perfectionist. I'm a bit of an idealist, and that rolls into perfectionism sometimes. But sometimes we don't like to let other people do it because we know we can do it better. So let's just be honest with ourselves. Yeah, we can do it better. Josh can chisel wood a lot better than me. He will always be able to do it better than me. That doesn't mean he doesn't share the load and delegate it to me. There will be things that you may always do better than the other person. Doesn't mean you don't give them the chance. You need to let go of it being perfect. And that's hard for some of us. For some of us, it's not about the outcome and what it looks like. Some of us, it's about control. I don't want to let you do it, because if you're doing it, I'm not in control of it. And we've just got this sense of peace about ourselves when we're in control, when we've got all the things inside our basket and we own it. It gives us a sense of peace and confidence. And there's something very vulnerable about, okay, you do it, and I'm sure it'll turn out okay. We struggle with control. We don't like letting go of the things that we know we can do well. So where are you with being able to do that? As we think about the things it takes to be able to delegate people, have you dropped the ball maybe in the past doing equipping? Have giving away authority Has it been something you struggle with? Because those things are the things that keep us from sharing the load. When we don't do that, we become the bottlenecks. We become the funnels. And so this is like the place where God wants to say, I want to do bigger things. Dan can't keep doing the same thing he's doing. He's going to, one day, we're going to be doing more of this, right? All of us are going to get a chance to do that. I want you to think about what happens when we do that. Not only does it free you up, I've got more space when I delegate, but also it equips and encourages the person you delegate to, right? I feel empowered now. I could go home and install a hinge in my home, and I know how to use my wood chisels. I've owned them for like 8 years. Now I actually know how to use them. I'm empowered. Josh is freer to do something else. I'm empowered. Same thing can happen to you. When you share the load, you're empowering and giving somebody else an opportunity to exercise and grow in their strength. They may not be good at it today, but unless they give it a try, we all won't really know. Sharing the load is an opportunity for us to do cool things for other people. Nobody should be responsible for more than 10 others. This is a place where I think we get lost sometimes. That when Jethro was encouraging Moses, the smallest group, the biggest group that he said is nobody should be responsible for more than 10 people. Think about that for a moment. Nobody should be responsible for more than 10. Jesus, when he planted the church, how many did he start with? 12. When you're a leader and you want to be able to effectively share the load and have a team that you're working for, when you start to get over 10 or 12 people, you lose control. I see this modeled in life groups all the time. We get excited. I had 20 people in my life group this week. Yes! And we get excited when our Bible studies are massively intended. 100% of the time, if we don't split those Bible studies up, the group shrinks. 100% of the time. Because you can't lead more than 10 at a time. Jesus only tried 12. So unless you think you can beat Jesus at being a leader, we need to be honest and aware of what maxed out. We need to do something different. There needs to be a change. Because the people, remember I said, if we're doing this well, the people around me are encouraged and empowered. If I've got too big a crowd I'm trying to lead, the people around me are no longer feeling encouraged and empowered. They're feeling left out. So as you're thinking about sharing the load on your team and delegating, man, be mindful. We need to keep the small, the size appropriate. Jesus only took 12. That when he decided to change the world and plant his church, he only went with 12 people. Because he knew that he came to earth to do some training. He took a 3.5-year training course and gave it to them. But then he knew at the end of it, he was going to give up his life on the cross to pay the price for our sins. He knew that's where it was ending up. He was going to do his equipping, but at some point he was going to have to leave them alone so that he could die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And when he rose from the dead, he knew he was going to rise from the dead, but still he was going to ascend to heaven. And these 12 guys were going to be responsible for planting the church. If you've never thought about that before, if you're struggling today going, man, you know what? Maybe there are things about my leadership and dealing with people and teams that I could grow on. There is no better example of a leader than Jesus Christ. One guy started a team with 12 folks and changed the world. If you want to learn how to be a better leader, follow Jesus. If you're following in his footsteps, you're going to start to grow and be the kind of leader God has always meant you to be. If you've never thought about that before today, man, let's start that relationship today, that you would accept who Jesus is. You would invite him into your life and say, you know what, I'm instead of struggling it my way, I want to learn how to do it your way. What does that look like? And you know why it looks different? As you learn the principles that Jesus uses in his leadership, it's not the same as you see modeled in the world. So if you've never done that, man, I would love to talk to you about that today. Let's make a decision to say, I'm going to follow Jesus today. You want to talk to me? I would love to talk to you after the service. If you don't think you can do that today, you can send an email to info@nvcmd.org. I love it. Y'all getting it. And I will do my best to follow up with your email to talk with you. What does it look like when I'm following Jesus? So where are we with our leadership? Are we able to say, yeah, I'm walking in Jesus' steps, or I see Jesus' steps, I'm not walking in them yet. And I need to make some changes. See, as we do a better job at delegating and sharing the load, delegating is just one way to empower people with the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. When I delegate, I'm empowering somebody. I'm giving them something that God may have been wanting to give them. God's been looking, waiting for the moment that we turn that over so that he can do in that person what it is that he wants to do. We get to play a role in that as leaders. So as you think about your family, your neighborhoods, your work, where is God calling you to go? You know what? Share that with somebody else. He's surrounding us with community to do just that. I would like to invite the band up. And while they're coming up, if you could please bow your heads. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Man, thank you that your word is so practical. I mean, we can get tied up in theology and thinking, and there are so many other practical things about how to relate to people, how to be a better leader, knowing about who you are, who we are, and what it is that you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and minds, that we would be able to see that modeled in Jesus, but also in Moses. And your word is full of people who have done outstanding leadership things. For the next few weeks, we're going to look at your servant, Moses. And today, we talked about sharing the load. Lord, if we're feeling heavy, if we're feeling anxious, Lord, help us figure out how to share the load. There's a skill to be knowing how to do that. Lord, I pray that you would lead us and guide us into the directions that you need us to go for that. Lord, I lift up everybody here and pray that as they talk to you today about what sharing their load with somebody else looks like, that you would just speak to them with gentleness and kindness, with clarity and guidance, Lord. Ultimately, I know that you do not want us to carry the stress and worries, that you want us to be able to turn them over to you, and you in turn may ask us to turn some of them over to somebody else. Help us to be empowerers of those around us. We lift all this up and look forward to your leading and speaking to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. You guys can stand. We're going to sing two more songs this morning.